morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this first day of June. Bruce Guthrie joins me with the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. The Mary Griffith Show brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi. We thank them for their sponsorship. Every month we check in and see what's happening with the Chamber of Commerce. It looks like lots of good things are going on. Tuesday night, the City Council put two programs, extended them. We pay a food and beverage tax, and what do we get out of it? We get the BET, Bet on Quincy Grant Program. We also get the QRAP program. So Bruce is here today, and I guess you're kind of happy that those things were extended. I'm sure you are.
Well, yeah, you know, from good morning, Mary.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, I am happy. I think the food and beverage revenue that we have created for this community is very valuable in development and growth for what we want to accomplish. And I think this being renewed is it's showing the results. I think one of the great things about this program is that we're showing the results. You know, data speaks.
Yes, they gave out a handout. I covered City Council a couple of weeks ago, and they gave a handout of how much money they give to, like, for example, event organizers to bring events in. And the average is only 22% of the total cost of the event. So 22% seed money brings in that much more commitment. So there you're already getting a 4-to-1 return on the money you're investing. And then, of course, the hotel rooms are full and you know, it's a phenomenal thing. Of course, this weekend, every hotel room will be full because of Fishing for Freedom and stuff like that. And, of course, the hotel rooms being full is what pays the hotel tax, which does the advertising to get people to come to Quincy. So it's interesting. The Chamber of Commerce doesn't get anything from the food and beverage tax. You don't get anything from the hotel tax. But you do get something from the invigorated business climate. So they have showed that this thing works. Have you heard anecdotal stories about how this bet on Q has been working?
I've heard a lot of stories, and you know, a lot of it comes from, you know, when this the food and beverage tax is what drives these programs. Of course,
that's controversial when it was first passed.
Yeah, because, and you know, Mary, I talked to a lot of restaurant owners who from day one said they were concerned about it, but they said if we agree to this, we want this money to go to creating events and growth in Quincy, bringing people here, not going to pensions or roads or anything, because there's dollars other place for that. And I've talked to several of these that have changed their mind completely, going, wow, this is actually very beneficial, it's actually worked, and this is what we you know, what we hoped it could do. Plus, it's a usage tax. I mean, you know, it's only people that when you go out to eat or drink, you pay it. You don't have to, you know, it's not crowded on everyone. And everyone is paying. Everybody's coming into Quincy from Adams and from outside the city. It's almost 60% of the money's coming from outside the city.
That's the thing that's the selling point for Quincyans is, you know, I mean, do I want to pay 1% more every time I go out to, like, I went to lunch yesterday? Do I want to pay 1% more? No. But the two ladies that were with me were from St. Louis. Do I want them to pay 1%? You betcha. I mean, it's a no-brainer that we are the hub, so we have to tax people that come into the hub. After all, they're using our stuff. So if we can get more events, fill our hotels, you know, make more people come here, make more people spend even more money here, that food and beverage tax is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So,
and you know what? I see it also every day. I office over at the Quincy Center, and I'm amazed at what's happened. I've been over there just a little over a year, and their events have just skyrocketed. They've got two or three major billiards tournaments that have come there, a martial arts tournament that have all came. A lot of those have come because of this grant, and then it's just exploded. So it is the food and beverage tax has done so many things, not only on the bet on Q, but also QRAP, what it's done for creating and recruiting businesses here, and it also adds money to our tourism budget, which has really been neglected over the years, and gives our tourism folks, Holly Kane, more dollars to spend to help recruit and promote what Quincy has to offer to come here and visit.
I should be having this discussion with Holly instead of you, but I will bring it up. yesterday. These ladies came from St. Louis to be guests on my show. They're going to be back in Hannibal on the 10th doing a Juneteenth production. I took them on a little tour of Quincy, just in their car. I drove and showed them some things in Quincy. I have more than once been in a restaurant eating dinner when somebody from obviously out of town has said, hey, you know, what's there to do tonight, you know, in Quincy? What's there to do in Quincy? Nothing. It's a boring town. I can't wait to get out of it. I really think we have to do better. Our restaurant employees are there to serve us food. That's their primary purpose. But what would it hurt to have a little sheet that they could hand to people and say, here are some things to do in Quincy, or, you know, have them know three things to do in Quincy? Now, not everybody's going to want to look at architecture. Not everybody's going to go to a museum, you know. But, I mean, obviously people hopefully know we have a riverfront. But I'm always amazed that our first line of offense is, you know, to get people to be proactive, to come back and to spend more money than what they're spending right there, is these social service workers who really need to get a little bit of training on how to sell our town a little bit better. I mean, yeah, it's their primary thing to put food on the table, but they could certainly not answer with a negative when that's what there is to do.
Your frontline people are so important, because that's like having your receptionist or at a business. They're the ones that are talking to the folks. And I know I had those experiences coming back here, traveling back here and staying in some hotels, and they didn't, you know, what to do. I don't know, you know, where to go eat. I don't know. I mean, that, and I know I've talked to Holly about that, and they're trying. She works hard to talk to those hotels and those people to. There is so many things that are going on here. There's a lot of things that this community has that when I hear that too, I hear there's nothing to do here, and I go, no, that's your own fault. You know, you can find, you know, places to do.
I mean, I don't expect a 20-year-old to be able to know what a 64-year-old wants to do, but just give me some options or some guidelines, and maybe just a real one sheet that could be printed, you know, just quarterly. You know, here are things coming up. Because there are people that don't know you can feed the ducks or go over on Quincy Island, or that you can climb up on this bluff and see this castle that is the only castle of its kind on our, you know, how hard is it? Now, is it something that server wants to do? Maybe not. But, you know, the point is, get them to stay here and spend more money. It's our town, and that's the only way we're going to prosper. So, I don't know. That's just been my pet peeve for a long time. In Hannibal, when I lived there for 9 years, one of the things they did was every year, and they enticed them to come. I don't know. They paid them or gave them something to come. And they gave the workers, the service workers, before the start of the season, and then they do it again halfway through a refresher course. When somebody says, what's there to do in Hannibal, here is the go-to. This is it. You know, these are the things. Now everybody can Google now, too. But to be told, nothing. It's a boring town. Nobody wants to be here. That's a little bit much. That's just a little bit much. Bruce Guthrie is my guest today. We're talking about the Bet on Q grant program that brings new events to town or helps existing events expand. We're also talking about the average visitor spends $100 a day while in town. The overnight guest spends $240. I mean, that's just an awful lot of money that's coming into our pocketbooks, a 6-to-1 return on the Bet on Q funding. Again, it's kind of a no-brainer that is a good thing. Now, the Quincy Workforce Relocation Program, or QRAP, some people are a little bit more concerned about that. Mm-hmm. They say, mm-hmm, I've lived in Quincy my whole life. Mm-hmm. Nobody helped me pay my rent. Nobody helped me with my mortgage. Okay, I agree. But how are we going to get new people to move in here?
You know, I tell people all the time, I said, yeah, we can always go back and say, hey, nobody helped me do this, or I didn't get to do this. And that's not the world we live in now. We have to be aggressive. Markets across this country, you have to recruit to your city. It's almost like I always say, it's like recruiting for athletes or something, for college or whatever. You've got to recruit. And if you're not, you're left behind nowadays. You could, I always tell people, Google what cities are doing this. And they are doing it all across the country, and they're doing it, a lot of them are doing it much more aggressive than we are.
One town's offering $15,000 to live there. Then we're only offering $5,000.
There is a problem and an issue with workers. We all know that. We need workers. So we've got to get aggressive. And this QRAP program is, you know, we're over, what is it, 183
yeah. people have applied.
Yep.
325 people are in Quincy because of QRAP. Mm-hmm. 100 companies have benefited from the program. You have to stay here a while. You don't just move to Quincy and they send you a check. I mean, there are some real stringent guidelines on it, but of course, we're hoping that the people who move here will stay.
And you know, Mary, the guidelines are important because I know it's been brought up. I think it was brought up at city council. Some council people worried about, well, people, they do not get their dollars until they meet the requirements, which is being here a year. There's some that have come and have gone. They didn't get their dollars. It's right there, and it is tracked through the city, and GredUp is part of this too. So I think it's like over two and a half in additional people, families are coming into town. The recruitment is very, you got to have some tools in the toolbox. And some cities have gotten a little upset at us on Quincy Calling around the community, around the region, because there's a company that's out there promoting and advertising Quincy Calling. There's a whole big program behind this. But this is the type of things that we have to do to stay aggressive. You can't sit still. Everybody's going to run by you, Mary, if we sit still. We got to be aggressive. We got to do things to make our community better, to get people, to come here to fill these jobs. We have several hundred jobs that are available. So I think these are great programs. Again, paid for by a food and beverage tax. That is not. It's one paid for by over majority outside of this community. You go out to eat or get something to drink, you pay for it. If you don't, you don't pay. So I think it's so many other cities have these taxes or these food and beverage tax. We're just not this little isolated area.
I'm getting ready to travel to Little Rock. And you know what? The number one thing I didn't look up was what's their hotel tax? What's their food and beverage tax? I want to go there. I mean, their hotel tax could be outrageous. It is in Chicago, but it doesn't stop people from going there. Yeah. It might stop you from having a 4,000-member convention there, but it's not going to stop the average business travel. When was the last time somebody came to Quincy and said, I wonder what the hotel motel tax is there? I wonder what their food and beverage tax is. No.
No.
I mean, they wanted to know if there's an attraction and can I get there and will I have a good time? So these are all very positives. They've passed for another year, so now we'll see. You know, people always say, well, nobody did anything for me. I said, hey, I remember years ago when I worked for the Girl Scouts, they had a program. Chamber, I think, did it, and so did Tourism. Bring your convention to Quincy. And we did. It was so much work. We said we'd never do it again. We got nothing for it, by the way. It was bring your convention to Quincy. We brought the regional Midwest Girl Scout convention to Quincy. And, I mean, it was an enormous amount of work for our little bitty Girl Scout staff here in Quincy, Illinois, to do that and entertain people from all over the Midwest. But we filled every ding-dang hotel that week. And it was during a weekday. You know, it was during a week time. And we felt good about it. We felt like, wow, we have contributed to our society, which is what Girl Scouts are supposed to do. So that was back when people were asking, you know, bring your convention. Well, we could still do that. Or if you already want to do something, if you have an idea for a rock band or something that you want to do, Bet on Q might be able to bring that in.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of people that like to quilt, collect stamps. I mean, you name it. If you're into it and you're tired of going other places for a convention, which most people aren't. I don't want to host a convention. I want to go to a convention. But you might take some time out of your busy day and explore these kinds of things. We're talking today with Bruce Guthrie from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. Business After Hours. Let's talk about this. June 8th, Liberty Bank.
Liberty Bank, Little Business After Hours, which is always fun to come out to and be able to highlight one of our local businesses and a great chamber member. It's always a great time. Get some food and drink. So, you know, come on out to Liberty Bank at 4:30 and enjoy some time with all the local business owners and the wonderful people that make up this community.
Learn about these local bankers. There was a story this morning on WTAD during our 5 o'clock hour. DeLoss Yonke, who does some farm broadcasting, was talking about the absolute loss of the rural local bank, that 40% since 2008, I believe I'm quoting him correctly, he interviewed Ernie Goss from Creighton University, who keeps his eye on this kind of thing, 40% of small-town, locally-owned banks have disappeared since 2008, while the bigger banks, of course, keep getting bailed out anytime they make bad loans or something. And so it's really critically important that we support Liberty Bank and we recognize them in the community. Now I think they said in Illinois there are only 30 banks for every million people. It sounds like a lot. I don't like that. I'd like to say there are three banks for every 100,000 people. Wouldn't I be doing the math there right? Three banks for every 100,000 people. Well, Quincy's got more banks than, you know, than that. Yeah. However, what small communities don't have any bank in it?
No, it's true. A lot of those have gone away. But we've got such a great, strong, a great thriving, strong banking community who helps support so many things and events and activities and, of course, the chamber. So we're really proud of that. And
Liberty Bank is out on Broadway, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we all know they've got the big In God We Trust, right?
I think they do.
Is it In God We Trust? Or no, Lapi's got a saying, and they've got a saying, and
yes.
I don't know which is which. But anyway, there's a big thing there. Uh-huh. I don't know. Anyway, it's Liberty Bank. And then June 15th, let's talk about this leadership training. I love the venue, the Axe Company.
Yeah, the Axe Company, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they've got a long space there for throwing axes so they can fill it up with conventioners and with people to give and speak. June 15th, leadership training, 10 to 1. At the Quincy Axe Company downtown, what's going to be happening there?
Well, this is another program, Mary, that we've created with our partnership with Grediff and the district. And, you know, our three organizations are working hard to do a lot of things together because we all have members, and we want to bring training, and we just finished up fraud prevention and cybersecurity and all that. Now, this is our next one, just a little quick leadership training. There's a gentleman coming in from a National Main Street who's going to talk about leadership. Also, I think Payne Schoen's going to be there to give some. He's a leadership consultant mm-hmm. to give some training. So we're just excited to be able to offer another training program. You need to register for that. That's next week. It's $25 and get lunch. And get some really good training. So, come on out.
And who should go to this? I mean, who is this targeted to?
Well, I think it's great for businesses who have their leadership team could be mid-level people that they want to bring out to give them some extra outside education and training on how to be a good leader, understand how teams work, how people are different, how do you work together. But it's just a great opportunity at hardly any cost. You know, all these training programs can be a huge amount of dollars.
Yeah, so this is one more way the Chamber, Grediff, the district, everybody's working together. We just love to see that. The other day I was also watching national news, and they had on about basically the labor shortage and how the mindset of a worker like myself, I mean, I can slack off any day better than anybody else. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I can really, you know, push it into low gear pretty quick, better than most. But I would say in general, you know, I'm high gear, high achiever, want to, you know, do the best for my group. But these young kids today, they know they're not going to stay with. I've been here 35 years, you know, so I've done some things that I think put me in good stead. If you're only going to stay someplace for 1 year, why do you want to push the envelope? This minimum Monday attitude, what can we do to turn that around? Is there anything the Chamber of Commerce can do to turn around the minimum Monday attitude?
Well, you know, I'll do a little bit of a tease, Mary. We feel like in a lot of discussion with a lot of business leaders in town that there's a gap in our younger leadership coming up on understanding of what it takes to make a community grow and thrive, which is volunteering, going on boards. We're going to be introducing here in the next week or so, you're going to hear about a new leadership program through the Chamber on a much grander scale, like a 9-month session. And it's really, we think it's going to be very valuable for this community. We need to create that opportunities and those educational platforms for people, for younger emerging leaders to understand what this community is about, in-depth emergence into what the community is about and how we need to make it grow, because that's what makes this community so successful, is all the things that go into it. We were talking about all the volunteering, all the boards. It's getting really difficult to get volunteers, get people to serve on boards, get people involved, get people to understand what government's about, to run for city council, to run for county commissioner, to get on the United Way board, to volunteer to run. Everybody wants to do more festivals and events, Mary. I get that call all the time. We need help. We need more people to get involved. And so this is a program we're going to be introducing to sort of help us in a lot of those ways and make our community better. So
is it like Young Professionals?
It's like that, but on a grander scale and with more of a taking some of those things from Young Professionals, taking some of the elements like what you see at the CEO program at the high school level, but this is for business leadership and mid management. This is for new managers and leaderships. New manager executives are coming into Quincy, which has been a lot in the last few years, that have approached me and going, I want to get more involved. I'm from Colorado. I'm from Boston. I want to get more involved. How do I get more involved in this community? How do I get on a board? And how do I get involved? We want to help this community. Well, this is going to be a great program for them to get immersed into our community. And we're excited about it. It'll be coming out soon. We're kind of doing the finishing touches on it.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Well, we'll look forward to your next
appearance. Yes, Mary.
We might have that fleshed out.
Yes, we will.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. In the olden days, and again, I can only hearken back mm-hmm. to my own experience, when I was in my 20s and I was working at different radio and television stations in this market, it was kind of encouraged that you belong to a service club or be part of a, Salvation Army, volunteer or something. You actually let your boss know about those things, and it was a little feather in your cap. I think some of the reason maybe the young kids aren't doing as much anymore is because they're not going to stay with the same company for very long. And maybe some of these companies that don't have any local tie, they just have a building here, they're a nationwide chain, they could care less. So they don't say, well, good for you, Bruce, for working 2 hours a week or going to that lunch, or I'll give you off. And I know that Rotary takes an hour, but it takes 15 minutes to drive there and back. So on that day, you're going to get a 2-hour lunch as our way of saying thank you for being part of this. It's a 2-way street. You mentioned businesses. Do you find that most businesses want their employees to be involved? After all, you're paying them to do a job and screw widgets. You're not paying them to, put on a Fishing for Freedom tournament. So you don't want them to take too much time away from the job, but how much is the equal balance?
Well, I'm amazed about the number of companies in the town who commit their employees because they see the bigger picture. They see that if we have a thriving, good community with a lot of events and activities and things, their employees are happier. They can recruit. They can recruit more, Mary. But I've seen that from a lot of businesses. We need more to get involved.
Well, the Day of Caring for the United Way is coming up, and, there's a perfect example. A lot of big businesses will give their employees the day off with pay if they volunteer. But what about the little mom and pops or the people that are independently employed? The United Way wants them to be involved, too.
And it makes it very challenging, the smaller businesses. You know what you can, the larger NAPIDs, the hospital, et cetera, can do. But, you're right. You got a smaller business, which is you're already strapped for workers. How do you adopt that into your everyday life and then still be able to do your regular business, but also do some personal development? It makes it very difficult, and we see that all the time. But we've got to keep pushing on this, and a lot of business leaders are seeing this. They're concerned over this lack of not corporate knowledge of the community and understanding why we need to know more about it so we can develop better leaders and make this community keep, because I think what really ties this community in to be so successful is our United Ways and our festivals and our culture and our music and our community theater. Think of all the, the people that put so many hours into that. Well, that's what makes our community part of what it recruit people. Getting back to what we were talking about with QRAP and everything.
Some people's only contribution to our community is to get on Facebook and tear it down. So
yeah.
We got to stop that.
Exactly.
We got to work against that. Bruce Guthrie, thank you so very much. Remember, folks, June 8th, Business After Hours at Liberty Bank out on East Broadway. June 15th, sign up today for the leadership training from 10 to 1 at the Axe Company. And if you or your service club or your church or your quilting association or whatever you're affiliated with wants to bring a convention, wants to bring a festival, wants to bring an event to Quincy, just like the Stenson Airplane Group is coming again for the second year to Quincy, there is money available to help you put on those kind of festivals. So be sure to check that out. It's 9:43. Our next guest will be talking about the Legacy Theater up in Carthage and the Selena tribute. Welcome back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Joy Swearingen is joining me via the phone lines from Carthage, Illinois, the home of the Legacy Theater. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for this talk with you this morning.
Oh, I always love to talk to the Legacy Theater. You know, now, I'll be honest, this particular show you've got coming up Friday night is not right up my alleyway, but the Latin Sounds of Selena, she's been passed away now for a long time. She passed away in the mid-1990s. She was really, really big, and I remember listening to her music. And so this has left a void in the Latin sound, and there is a cover band, Los Chicos del 512, the Selena Experience, and they're going to basically channel Selena. You'll think you're at a Selena concert, won't you?
That's right. They have been doing a loving tribute to her since, I think in 2014 is when they organized. And I think you're right, Mary. I think we have so many different genres that, you know, maybe this one is not your favorite or something else is not your favorite, but I think people have begun to know that at the Legacy Theater it's going to be a good show. And so maybe let's broaden our horizons a little bit. And this is certainly a good chance to hear some outstanding Latin music. Selena was just, you know, she had a struggling life early on. I know she did a lot of music and was pulled out of school. Some of the reading I did, you know, the teachers were not too happy about that, but she was really up and coming and had made it. She was more than up and coming. And then a sudden untimely death in 1995. And so this is the only way we're going to get to hear that great music again. And so, This group has put together to satisfy old fans and hopefully bring a lot of new fans to this kind of Latin music.
Yeah, the mariachi band. It'll be definitely a Latin music fest. Now, I know obviously being here on WTAD, you know, we don't have a high Hispanic listening audience. I was wondering, does the Legacy reach out to like Beardstown and Louisiana, Missouri, and over, you know, by Kirksville, where they are getting larger and larger Hispanic populations?
Yes, we made some special efforts to get information out to Beardstown, up to Monmouth, where Smithfield plant is, and kind of a different kind of marketing for this one because we wanted to get the people that really we hoped would be interested. Carthage Vet Service is our sponsor for the show, and they're doing some efforts with some of the workers that are among that population. So we're really hoping we get a good crowd. There's still some tickets available, so people can just decide, hey, let's go and see a great show. It is Friday night, not Saturday. Sometimes our shows are on Saturday, but this one is a Friday night show, June 2nd, so tomorrow night at 7:00 at the Legacy Theater. And it's going to be hopping. The clips that I have heard, these young people are really making a wonderful tribute. And like so many of our tribute bands, they really are, I mean, they're presenting outstanding music in tribute, but they're outstanding performers in their own right. So the music is going to be fantastic, I think.
I don't think there has been a bad show at the Legacy Theater. I went up, a group of four of us. Three of us loved one of the performances. One did not. But that didn't mean it wasn't a great performance. They just didn't particularly enjoy that genre. I mean, you do every kind of genre. You had a dog and pony show, literally, for kids the last time. So I applaud you. I think that we have to understand that the Carthage Legacy Theater, the more we go to things, the more we stretch our boundaries, the more we say, well, hey, you know, let's go see what the Selena Experience is like. People like Latin music. The more you stretch, the more you expand your boundaries, the more grateful you will be at how eclectic the Legacy Theater is when it comes to booking acts.
That's right. We've really had a variety in our lineup this year. They was a stand-up comedian, a magician, the dog show, which was so well attended and was so much fun the other night. And then we've got some of the tributes. We've got a couple of young artists coming up. I could talk about that in a little bit, but we've actually continued to book some acts even as our season was announced. And I think that what we feel like is that, this is good for Carthage and it's good for Hancock County, but it's really good for the quality of life in this whole region because, where can a family go and see this fantastic magician and then go home and stay in their own beds and they haven't paid for motels and they haven't driven 500 miles. And so it's just like right here is this wonderful source for entertainment in such a variety. So we're just really excited about it. And so we appreciate being able to talk about it with you.
Well, you can call the box office to get tickets. I'm going to give you the number. The number is 217-357-9479. That number again, 217-357-9479. You can also order online at thelegacytheater.com. That's thelegacytheater.com. Selena Tribute, Friday night, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Legacy Theater in Carthage. And, of course, this is a big weekend in Carthage with Strawberry Strut and with the Hancock County Against Cancer. So there's a lot going on, but Friday night, it all kicks off at the Legacy Theater. You've got a couple of other things coming up, and while I've got a few extra minutes, let's talk about Drew Green coming from Nashville for the Friday, July 7th performance at 7 o'clock.
Yes, that'll be a fun part of the whole 4th of July week. And so we finally kind of got all the details. We really can't call him an up-and-coming anymore because he has been a songwriter for a long time. And now he's performing some of his songs, and he's really become an outstanding singer down in Nashville. And the Country Financial Regional Agents are our sponsor for that show. So they're seeing that this is going to be a fun. These are a lot of young agents. I think we're looking for the young professionals, the young people who really enjoy country music, and looking for a good show that evening.
And can you do one more before we let you go?
Yes, another one. Then our next show, we kind of lay low in August because people are traveling and so forth. But on September 30th, we have Angie Kay. She was on The Voice. She was on Team Blake. And so she's going to also bring kind of a country and a with a little bit of a Latin flair in there, too. So got a couple of young artists that I think we're going to see their name a whole lot more as they go on with their careers. And they're going to start here at the Legacy Theater. So that's Angie Kay on September 30th or Drew Green on July 7th at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, tomorrow night.
Friday, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Again, thelegacytheater.com for tickets or call the box office at 217-357-9479. The box office is open from 10 until 2. So don't call right now.
Okay.
Give them a few minutes to get in there and get settled. But 217.
Oh, Bonnie's usually there, so
yeah,
that'd be great. 217.
Call
back. If you can't call it till after 2, she'll come in and give you a call and
she'll
make sure
you
that she can help
of.
You out.
She'll get you taken care of.
That's right.
It's been delightful. Thank you, Joy. I so appreciate you putting the extra effort in to promote the Legacy, one of my favorite places. And I just thank you for everything you do. And good luck in Carthage this weekend. A lot of great things going on up there.
Thanks, Rex. Come and see us.
Thank you.